sentence today is from the 18th chapter of Luke, verses 9 through 14. Jesus spoke this parable addressed to those who believed in their own self-righteousness while holding everyone else in contempt. Two people went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed like this: "I give you thanks, O God, that I'm not like others, greedy, crooked, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes on everything I earn." The other one, however, kept a distance, not even daring to look up to heaven in real humility. All the tax collector said was, "O God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Believe me, the tax collector went home from the temple right with God, while the Pharisee didn't. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, while those who humble themselves will be exalted.
As I mentioned, we're going to have four testimonies today. So we're going to hear from Mark Van Dorn, Pam Schonauer, Suzanne Nichols, and not myself, we're going to hear from Jim Stovall. So, Mark Van Dorn.
Good morning. My name is Mark Van Dorn. I'm a member of the congregation here at Church of the Open Arms. I also serve the regional setting of our church, the Kansas-Oklahoma Conference of the United Church of Christ, as past president and now as chairperson of the Finance, Asset, and Stewardship Commission. I attended the annual meeting this year as a member of the Executive Committee of KO and as the chairman of the Nominating Committee. I have heard the words steward and stewardship my whole life. I am a fourth-generation Oklahoma farmer. We have served the same farm since before the state of Oklahoma was a state. I grew up hearing my granddad and my dad talk about being good stewards of the land that we had been given. I got the concept of giving back in gratitude and as an act of faith for what we had. I learned even in the bad years when the farm didn't yield a paying crop, or there was a drought or some calamity fell on Van Valley Farms. Even then, especially then, we had to be faithful to our responsibility of stewardship and care for this gift from our Creator. When I came to Church of the Open Arms, I carried with me that feeling of responsibility to help, to be faithful in the care of my church, to be a good steward. As I studied and developed my faith more and more, I realized there was faithfulness not only in the giving of my time and talent, but also in giving of my financial resources. When I was asked to lead a team or consider a rotation in the presidency or work on this church project or that one, I knew I could only have one answer. That answer had to be yes. That faithfulness, that good stewardship to my church committee led me to more personal blessing and growth than I had ever known in almost every other setting of my life. It enriched the love I have for my Lord, expanded the love and care I have for my husband and my children and my grandchildren. It truly seemed the more I gave, the more I got back. I thought that give-get situation couldn't get any better, but I was very wrong. I was asked to join the leadership and care of my church in a new way, to become a part of the wider church of the United Church of Christ. I was asked to step outside of these four walls and engage in the Lord's work in the regional setting. And of course, as in the past, I could only say yes. The wider church for us here at Open Arms is represented by the Kansas-Oklahoma Conference of the United Church of Christ, also known as KO. This is an organization of 61 United Church of Christ churches in Kansas and Oklahoma that have come together and agreed to work in support of each other. We all just attended the annual meeting of this organization. Annual meeting happens once a year. It is the time that KO churches come together to do the business of the conference. But it is something more than that. You see, one of the main components of being a UCC church is our autonomy. We are not alike, one church to the other. In fact, all of our churches are very, very different. For example, not every UCC church is open and affirming, meaning that it is welcoming to the LGBTQ community. Not every UCC church is inclusive in the way that we know it here at Open Arms. Yet even with all our differences, as the wider church, as KO, We choose to come together in our commonality, in the love of the gospel, to support and help each other. That is why, for me, being a part of the leadership of the wider church is so fulfilling. We're all different, but we work to live the love of our sameness. It's an amazing thing to see and be a part of. Strangers from wildly different belief systems, moral prejudices, different expectations and concerns, set aside those differences and choose to reflect, share, give, and love that which we have in common. Because of the time, talent, and financial resources I give to the wider church, I find incredible blessing. I find hope for my beloved open arms. I find the love of the stranger, strangers that need me and appreciate me. I see my Jesus alive, vibrant, laughing, worshiping, praying, crying, loving me and loving my church. Do you realize that you're already a part of the wider church of the UCC as well? You don't have to be in the leadership to participate in our church outside of these walls. If you'll pay attention to our financial books here at Open Arms, you will notice a line in our budget labeled OCWM, our church's wider mission. That line in our church budget delineates the amount of financial resources we as a body of Christ give to the wider church. But you wonder, what happens to that money? Well, did you know that when the KO provided the money for our youth to attend National Youth Event, those funds came directly from OCWN dollars that the member churches shared with the regional setting. That is clear evidence that our faithful giving has come back to us in blessing and abundance. Friends, my faith journey cannot be yours. I have found power and love in what I define as good stewardship, faithful giving and tithing, and sharing of my time and talents. Yours may not translate in the same way. But I promise, if you will make a conscious effort to be faithful in your giving, no matter what or how much, you will see that gift grow and come back to you tenfold. I promise. That's the power of stewardship for me, and that's the power of the wider church, the Kansas-Oklahoma Conference of the Church of Christ.
My name is Pam Schoenauer, and this was my first conference to attend. As I enter into a leadership role with our church, I had hopes of going to the conference and gaining some grand vision to bring back to you. I hope to bring back some great plan of action to grow our church, or something, I don't know, but something grand. I had already decided that I was interested in attending the workshops on white privilege, as that is something I'm currently struggling to understand. I do believe that I gained a better insight into what white privilege is, and more specifically, my own white privilege. The first workshop was unsettling for me. I was frustrated with the man who wanted to insist that the term cisgender must be some sort of acronym in spite of the presenter's multiple attempts at explanation. Then there was the guy who was still concerned about the reverse discrimination lawsuit from the 70s, which sparked a woman behind me saying with fear in her voice, "But if we keep doing this, it might cause a paradigm shift." I was so offended by all of this. As unsettled as I was by the first workshop, I was bored by the second one. Basically, the presenter outlined the curriculum that has been developed by the UCC that we, the individual congregations, can use in our own churches. I do believe that this curriculum has value, and I would like to see us use this in our own church. I discovered that I missed the give and take of the previous day's conversations. I realized that part of my offense was that these people's frustration, fear, pain, and fear were reflections of my own to some degree. That was uncomfortable for me to see. Leaving the conference, I have taken the presenter's suggestion that for a week I look at my own life and preface most everything with, because I'm white, ... I've been practicing this, and it has made me more aware of my own white privilege. I hope that we can create a safe place for all of us to explore our experiences together. I expect that we can cause a paradigm shift, if only in ourselves. I would be remiss in talking about my time at the conference if I didn't talk about something else that happened. On Friday evening, a woman, Lynn Gilkey, spoke. She and her husband have an organization called Rise Up for Youth. It's an advocacy organization for young people in the Wichita community. As Lynn told her story, I felt convicted, even triggered. Hearing her describe her loss of innocence to sexual child abuse poked me in my most sore spot. The next morning, I forced myself to go to the gym, hoping that that would help me feel better. I'm not sure that I believe in an actual devil anymore, but I'm here to tell you something. That morning, there was a demon, perhaps of my own making, whispering lies in my ears. Lies about my weight, about my worthiness in the eyes of God, and the love of my wife. It was all that I could do to just keep going there for a moment. I finished in the gym, went back to the room, and dressed for the day. I was still feeling terribly unsettled, so I decided to go for a walk around the pond outside the hotel. As I left the hotel, the wind was howling outside, matching the turmoil in my heart. I faced my demon on the path that morning as the sun began to glow in the sky, showing me hope. I continued to struggle this entire week, but I made it through without caving in. The conference ended with something called dinner church, which was a wonderful experience I would love to share with you at another time. For me, it was like a soothing salve on my newly opened wound. So, remember I left on Friday with hopes of a grand vision to bring back to you. That I don't have. What I do have is a realization that our church is not necessarily about some great or grand vision. It's about the deeply personal. It's about me telling you my story and listening as you share yours. It's about being poked in my sore spots, about being offended, and working it all out together. I want to be poked, just not too hard or too often, please. I want to be offended, I want to be challenged, and I'm looking forward to seeing how our story together unfolds.
Good morning, I'm Suzanne Nichols. I was one of your delegates, along with Pam, to the KO conference. We were asked when we were... When Kayla asked us to do this, she let us pick what we wanted to speak on, and I picked organizational process. Sounds kind of boring, huh? Well, it's kind of what I do in life. But there's several reasons I picked that out. One, I'm just interested in organizational forums and in creating the words that help people work together so that you get out up front how you're going to work together. Second is that we've got some major changes being proposed right here at our church, and so I was really interested in how changes were being made at the KO level. I was really inspired by all the work that mostly the work I saw being done behind the scenes. I could see it between the work because the work went so smoothly that I knew lots of work had been done, and I'd was able to talk both to Mark, who's been working on it for a couple or 3 years, to other people, to how they did that and how they made that. So that's why I was interested in that. In the past, you heard Mark list that long name of that commission that he's on. Well, in the past, the KO Conference, along with other churches and other conferences, have had many commissions where there would be a chair and there would be a lot of people and they would meet and make in long meetings and make decisions and bring recommendations back. And that doesn't work in our world today. So finally, and I say finally because it took a while, KO Conference has decided that the one conference commission that they need deals with stewardship and assets and giving. And the rest of them aren't. The work's being done in other ways now, so we don't need those commissions. So that was one of the things that happened at this meeting. But the change didn't happen overnight. In fact, I think that they probably worked on it for 3 or 4 years to get this change to happen. And the way the things that we adopted at this meeting, besides the structure, was the vision statement that Melinda read a while ago. That's a new vision statement for the conference now. And the structure that was adopted now has about 8 or 9 people on the leadership council, has one commission, and has 2 committees. These are a committee on ministry. I've been asked and was elected to serve on one of those committees. We have 2 committees, so this is the nitty-gritty of how church happens, and this is how your ministers are supervised. I grew up in a Baptist church where the church did it itself, but in the United Church of Christ, our conferences are the ones who make the decision who should be ordained. Then we make the decision who our pastor will be, but they decide that that person is an authorized minister. So we have 2 groups. One helps people as they're discerning whether or not they should be a ordained clergy or licensed clergy or commissioned clergy, all names that really mean you're authorized to be a minister in our church. And then another group that helps with those pastors after they have been ordained, or ministers, not necessarily just pastors, and helps supervise them, make sure that they are getting current education, that they are making contact with the conference, and that should anything really bad happen, as has happened in other churches, that there is a way that that pastor can be held accountable. So I've been asked to serve on that, and that will begin for me. But as I watched this, I saw a vote, and I know the people that were on the council were very nervous about how that would go, how that vote would go, what kind of comments were they going to get. And this is what they got. They got people who, when they stood up, I thought, okay, this is it, not knowing them very well, but having been around a little bit. And they got, it's about time we got this done. And then they got, this is really what we need to do, and this is going to really help our conference. That's what I dream and hope will happen when we, beginning several months ago, in fact, years for us, but last month, our leadership council was given a draft set of bylaws. They're going to review them again today and pass them on to the church. And next month at our all-church meeting, you will be asked to look at a new set of bylaws that has similar things, without all of the teams being in the bylaws, without multiple layers of people doing things, so that we can be more responsive, more nimble to issues that come up, and yet still have as much participation as possible. And that's one of the things I love about this church. It's probably the thing that brought me here was the organization and the structure. And the ability to, if you want to be involved, if you want to have a say in any decision this church makes, all you have to do is come to a church council meeting. Yes, it's one more meeting, but you can participate. You can help decide what we do next, how we raise money, what our money will be used for. That is an open, completely open function. And I praise God for that, and I thank you for your participation.
I'm Jim Stovall, and I was attending the conference as an authorized minister of the United Church of Christ. And what I'm going to attempt to do is to give you a 2 or 3 minute summary of the message of our keynote speaker, which was Reverend Robin Myers of Mayflower Congregational UCC Church. And I want to start out by reading a couple of words from Martin Luther King Jr. This is a number of quotations from Dr. King. And it's amazing how relevant some of this stuff is. And Robin drew from King specifically. One of his pieces was the letter from a Birmingham jail. Dr. King says, "We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. Never again can we afford to live with the narrow, provincial, outside agitator idea. It is unfortunate that demonstrations are taking place in Birmingham, but it is even more unfortunate that the city's white power structure left the Negro community with no alternative. The church has an opportunity and a duty to lift up its voice like a trumpet and declare unto the people the immorality of segregation. It must affirm that every human life is a reflection of divinity, and that every act of injustice mars and defaces the image of God in man." This was the early 60s, so it was in man. The last line from Dr. King goes like this: "So often the contemporary church is a weak, ineffectual voice with an uncertain sound. So often it is an arch defender of the status quo. The United Church of Christ has a fabulous tradition of speaking out and being involved in addressing the issues of the day, whether it's segregation or marriage equality or violence and militarism. Robin pointed out to us that the early church was a rather subversive group. They were a group that were a threat to the status quo. Many believe that this explains why Jesus was crucified, is because he was a threat to the status quo. He refused to give allegiance to Caesar. The early church's declaration was not Caesar is Lord, which was the common way to address the powers that be, but rather Jesus Christ is Lord. And so the early church offered a powerful alternative to the status quo. Robin spoke to all of us and reminded us of the failures of the church, but also reminded us of the potential that the church has. And when I say the church, I'm talking about the church universal. Too often the church has had an apathetic response to human suffering. Too often we have been content to sit by and allow horrible things to happen in our world. The church, to some extent, has allowed itself to be co-opted by the dominant culture. So rather than being a voice of dissent, we're a voice of compliance and go along to get along, something like that. Here in Oklahoma especially, too often the voice of the church is not a voice of love and compassion, but the voice of the church too often is a voice of bigotry and condemnation. The United Church of Christ is a voice for what has been called progressive Christianity. And if it's nothing else, it's a Christianity that recognizes the need for us to be involved in our community, to speak out for injustice, to speak out for the least of these. The United Church, another characteristic of our church is we're not very hung up on dogma. It's not about believing these five things, but it's about living in the way of Jesus and seeking to embody that and be that presence in our world. As I've been a part of this church, Open Arms, for about the past 14 years or so, I have seen many dozens and dozens of instances of where people have, in fact, stood up and spoken out loudly. And I like some of you that have already spoken, am very proud to have been a part of that. At the present time, there's an election going on. You may have noticed. You may have heard something about it. Obviously, there's a presidential campaign, but there's also a number of state questions that we're dealing with here in Oklahoma. And these things matter. They do make a difference. And our understanding of Christianity requires that we get involved, requires that we speak out for the least of these. There's a conversation that goes on in some churches that maybe we should water down our message so that it'll appeal to more people, and maybe more people will come and feel comfortable in our church. But that seems to be contrary to certainly what Robin, I think, was calling for. Rather than toning down our rhetoric, Robin suggested that by turning up the intensity of our involvement, and being a voice for integrity, that's what will reinvigorate our churches. Robin's comments were a reminder to all of us that we are not a social club, but we are followers of Jesus, called to be a voice for the least of these, to those who will turn over the tables in the temple, so to speak. If we decline, our numbers will decline if we fail to speak with passion and purpose in response to the suffering in our world. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark and Pam and Suzanne and Jim. Thank you so much for your witness and your testimony.